Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter in chapter 1. This is part 2 of a close look at the Holy Bible. Part 2 of a close look at the Holy Bible. And so we're just digging in to just see what really is the Bible. I know that we can say, oh yeah, I know what it is, the Word of God, and you know, but sometimes we just kind of, it becomes just old hat. It becomes just something, you know, that we don't give actual attention to, like really, if it is the Word of God, it requires. And so a close look at the Holy Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, let's dive into verse 23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so God tells us here how we are born again, how we are spiritually birthed into the family of God. It is by the word of God. That's why a person can know they're saved. You can know you're saved, because salvation isn't a feeling. Salvation is a promise. And if we trust Christ like he promised, we have what he promised. And so we have the authority of his word, not my word, not your word, not, you know, preacher so-and-so or church so-and-so. We have the authority of the Bible. And that's what God says. It's the word of God that gives life. It really is. It's the word of God that delivers us from our own sin. I want you to back up to verse 18 in this same chapter. Verse 18 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. All right, we weren't purchased out of our sinful, damned condition. We weren't purchased out of that condition with money or anything else from this earth. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your empty lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers. But, how were we redeemed? Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. How can anybody be saved? It's not by works, it's not by money. It's by the blood of Christ, and that alone. That alone. And so it says, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. In other words, this was God's plan. Verse 20 says, foreordained. That means that was his plan beforehand. In other words, when God made man, God already, in his foreknowledge, knew man would sin, and God already had a plan. Jesus Christ was already God's plan to redeem mankind, whom he had not yet created. And so before God created even the world, God knowing, because his knowledge is infinite, because God's knowledge is infinite doesn't mean he made all the decisions. It doesn't negate yours and my free will. Just because God knows something doesn't mean he made us do it or not do it. But God gave us a free will, and man sinned against God, and God already had the plan of his redemption by his Son. Whosoever would believe on the Son would have life. Jesus Christ would pay the price. He would take our sin so that we could be made righteous. Salvation is 100% God, 100%. It's not a 50-50, it's 100% God. I am the sinner, duly damned for my sin, but Jesus paid the full price. And that's why we can be saved. But that's not exactly what we're talking about today. We're talking about the Word of God and a closer look at the Bible. So look again at verse 23. It says, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I want you to notice that God's word, it's not only God's word, but it's eternal. Also notice, in deep contrast, verse 24 says, all flesh is as grass. So God is likening our life and every person. He's likening this flesh like grass. I mean, it's very temporary, okay? And that's the point. He says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower. As the flower of grass. You know, flowers are beautiful. You know, I think about the nation of the United States of America. I love this nation. It's a blessing to be an American. It's a blessing to have a constitution and to be governed by just and right laws. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to have freedom to preach and to have a Bible. Not every country has that freedom right now today. There are people today in Venezuela, in Cuba, in China, and we could list many other countries where people are sitting in jail, where people's Bible, for their testimony, not because they robbed a bank, not because they stole something, but because they loved Jesus, and because they had Bibles, and because they told others about Jesus. But we have freedom. So I love this nation. And you know, when we think about America and its founding, you think of the glory, right? And that's what it says in verse, 24? The glory of man. Think about it. The glory of this nation and all that we have and all that God has blessed us with. It is a blessing. But you know what? It's like a flower. Fades. I don't know whether the United States of America will still be here in 50 years. I don't know. It might not be here in 10 years. You have no idea. I believe it will. But you know what? Christ could return and things could really get shook up. But you know what? We have no idea. We think we're invincible. But I'll tell you what, kingdoms have risen and fallen for thousands of years. Mighty kingdoms. But you know, I'm not here to prophesy of any kind of demise. I'm here to say all the glory of man is like a flower that may be beautiful but fades quickly. But God's word, oh, it will last forever. Kingdoms will rise and fall. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away. He's not talking about the heavens where he dwells. He's talking about the heavens and the earth. It can pass away. But God's word will not. Notice that next verse, verse 25. It says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Last week we talked about how God gave us the Bible. And we looked at, this is one of the passages and one of the verses which tells us that the prophecy, which is literally the revelation from God. It says the revelation from God, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. That's past tense. They spoke. Spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And so how did we get the Bible? Well, God just tells us very clearly that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we got the Bible. So whether it was Moses, whether it was Jeremiah, whether it was David, whether it was Peter, whether it was Paul, whether it was James, it doesn't matter. Holy men of God, God-fearing men, were moved, the Bible says, by the Holy Ghost. So I want you to understand, as we noted last week, that God is the author of the Bible. The 40 different men that God used from Old and New Testament, total of 40 different men God used down through 1,500 years about of human history to write the Bible. From Moses up until John, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. Moses is attributed by the Bible to have written the first five books. And Moses penned those. God being the author. And I want to show you that here in as we go along and just emphasize that. I got a lot I want to cover. Let's go to Psalm 68 and verse 11. Psalm 68 and verse 11. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. I want you to see that God is the author of the Bible. Notice Hebrews. Now we're going all the way back to the New Testament, actually close to where we were in Peter. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews, chapter 1 and verse 1. I want you to see what the Bible says about how we got the Bible. Hebrews 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now look at this verse. It says, God, who at many different times and in many different ways, he spoke in times past unto the fathers. How did God speak? What does the verse say? By the prophets. Who spoke? God. Who's the author of the Bible? God. Did he use men? Yes. Yes, he did. Absolutely, he did. And so we see that what they spake, though, was not their own words, but God's word. And so that's what the verse clearly says. God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And so we see just an indication there of how God gave us his word, that God did indeed speak by those prophets. And let's notice Mark chapter 12, Gospel of Mark, and chapter 12, Matthew and then Mark, chapter 12. And we want to notice verse 35, verse 35 and 36. Now, here's Jesus speaking. All right, verse 35. "And Jesus answered and said," well, he taught in the temple, "how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David?" So Jesus puts forward a question. Mark chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus puts forward a question, and he says, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? Verse 36. Now notice what Jesus says about the Bible and about what David wrote. Notice it says, verse 36, "For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." Jesus is quoting what David penned in Psalm 110, verse 1. If you looked up Psalm 110, verse 1, you would see that that's what Jesus is quoting. He's quoting that psalm. So there in that Psalm of David, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying David himself, right? That's what it says. David himself said, by the Holy Ghost. So you see the man as the instrument, but who was the author? Who was the one truly directing his words? Yeah, absolutely. And so we see how that psalm, and certainly applies to more than just that psalm, because all of the Bible is given by the inspiration of God. And so noticing that, Jesus attributing David to writing the very words of God. Notice Acts chapter 16. That's not far from where we are in Mark here, just Luke and John and then the book of Acts. And chapter 1 of Acts and verse 16. Acts 1. And verse 16, here's the Apostle Peter preaching. He's talking to the other disciples, and he gets up and speaks. And Acts chapter 1, please notice verse 15. It says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," remember, Jesus has ascended back to heaven, and this is just the days right after that. And here's Peter talking with the other disciples, the other believers, which the Bible says the number of the names together were about 120. So here's 120 people, and Peter is speaking to these believers. verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Do you see that? Do you see the very clear claim of the scripture, the very clear understanding that God is the author? God is the one speaking here, even though he used man's mouth. He is not negating the instrument. I mean, David wrote about things, and we can see David's personality. We can see his insight, his knowledge, but it was certainly the Holy Spirit of God that is the author. And so Peter says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So he's talking about Judas Iscariot, who would betray Jesus, and he's quoting Psalm 41, verse 9. Peter is quoting Psalm 41, verse 9. And he says, the Holy Ghost said by the mouth of David. The Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. And so understanding the Bible here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. I know that we looked at this one last week, and I just want to emphasize it because it really says it very clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It tells us here in verse 16 that all scripture, the word scripture literally means graphe or graphite. That's what it means, scripture. Literally, all of the graphite. And it's talking about, you know, a pencil, a writing instrument. All of the writings. And it's talking about the holy writings. It's talking about the Word of God, talking about the Bible. And so it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We talked about inspiration, how it means by the very breath of God. Theopneustos. The breath of God. All the Bible is given by the breath of God. God breathed it. And it tells us how it's profitable in every area. In absolutely every area. And so all scripture. I want you to notice that word all. Because that's what I want to emphasize. Building on this. We look at the Bible, we recognize, hey, God's truly the author. He used men, but God is the author. Holy men of God did speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But we want to notice that all of the Bible, it's not just, oh, okay, so we see Jesus accredited David writing Psalm 110. Okay, great, we can trust Psalm 110, right? Well, yeah, but it's not just isolated parts. It's not just, okay, we can trust this because I can understand this portion right here, but I don't understand this over here, so I don't know whether we can trust it. Did God really say, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes when Solomon wrote all those things? Did God really say that as well? And some people actually question those things, and they pick and choose, and then they start a cult usually, right? Because all scripture, we need it all. In fact, that's what Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Here's Jesus, the beginning of his earthly ministry. He's being tempted by the devil. The devil is directly tempting Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Put some boxing gloves on and said, I'm going to whop you one? No, that's not at all. He quotes the Bible. He quotes the Bible with authority and with trustworthiness. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. This is Jesus speaking back to the devil, responding to his temptation and with the Bible. And he says, it is written. It is written. How many times did Jesus say that? Over and over again. But he says here in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, next word please, every. Isn't that interesting? Every. Every is kind of like saying all, eh? All and every. It's kind of all-inclusive, like we need it all. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God breathed it all. God gave it all. He's the author of it all. This passage here in Matthew 4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but he doesn't just say by the word of God, but he says by every word. Now, I mentioned cults, false teachings. There are so many false teachings that arise when not every word of God is considered. It really is. When we just pick parts we want, just pieces we like, and throw others away and disregard them. You know, the Mormon church, for one, says that you can trust the King James Bible. It's what they say. You can trust the King James Bible as unless it conflicts with the Book of Mormon. And the Mormon church reads the King James Bible in their services. But they don't believe it all. And of course, there's many, many twisted doctrines that we could go into. And I'm not intending to do that now. But I'm just saying, God says every word. Every word is what we need to live by. Every word. In other words, we need to digest it all. We need to take it all into consideration. We need to believe it all. And seek to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Right? You can't really get a full picture of a puzzle until you have all the pieces. Right? And sometimes we may struggle to place a few, but at least we know they're there, even if they're just beside. And we say, I'm not quite sure how this fits, but it fits. It's there somewhere. I just haven't figured out where to put it. But God said it. I believe it. So, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now notice what Jesus says. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, is Jesus talking about, you know, some audible voice from heaven that we're supposed to seek for? Man, how do I live? You know, I need to hear from God. You know, God needs to speak to me. God has spoken. See, Jesus is quoting the scripture. He says, it's written. It's written. We need to live by it. And Jesus emphasized that. All scripture. A man by the name of Michael Baer said these words. He was a believer and he wrote some things. And he said, the historical parts of the Bible are as accurate as the parts that explain about salvation. The verses that deal with science are as infallible as the description of heaven. In other words, it's all good. It's all given by God. When we have a scientific aspect or an archaeological, a historical aspect, it's accurate to the T. It's faithful. Every word is inspired. And I want you to notice and just emphasize that it is the word that is inspired. When these holy men of God spake, they spake words. Now, granted, they weren't English words, Hebrew, Greek, and such, but they spoke words. And I'm thankful that the King James translation of the original languages is a very faithful translation. And that's a key thing as well, which certainly we'll get more into in future studies. But we're talking right now about inspiration, that God inspired it all. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But also we're talking about verbal inspiration, which points out that God gave words. Holy men of God spoke. God breathed his word. God did not merely give concepts. And I want you to go to Psalm 12 again. Psalm 12 and verse 6. It says, the words, notice that, words, words, words. We've seen that so many times, even in our first passage in Peter. You know, the words of the Lord shall endure forever. And here again, the Bible says in verse 6 of Psalm 12, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The words are pure. The words are from God. The words will last forever. And so we believe in verbal inspiration of the Bible. I want you to notice, I'll just quote this passage, but in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, it says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth," comparing spiritual things with spiritual. "Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." The words, again, the words. I want you to go to Revelation 22, the very last chapter of the whole Bible. Revelation 22, verse 18 and verse 19. Revelation 22, verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the," what? The words of the prophecy of this book. "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now notice verse 19. "And if any man shall take away from the," help me now, the words of the book of this prophecy, "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." It's no accident that this clear warning to not add to the word of God and not take away from it was given right here in the last couple of verses in the Holy Bible. And these verses were the last revelation God gave. It really is. Chronologically, this was written by the Apostle John, of course, God being the author, but John being the man God used. And John wrote these things down in about AD 90, 1900 years ago. And God, the Holy Spirit, led him in the last couple of verses before he said, "I come quickly." He said, "Don't add to this and don't take away from the words of this prophecy." The words are important to God. Notice Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Jesus speaking here. Jesus says in verse 35, Matthew 24, he says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." My words. I would like to just note that Mark chapter 13, verse 31 says the exact same thing. Mark 13, 31 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Luke chapter 21, verse 33 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." God the Holy Spirit saw fit to record the exact same verse in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Luke, and in the Gospel of Mark. My words shall not pass away. God is serious about his word. His words. Not just his word, but his words. Psalm 107, verse 11. Oh, let's go over here. We're going to do a little digging in the Psalms for a couple minutes. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 11. We're just kind of diving into the middle of a psalm, but I want you to notice what the Bible says, what God says. Psalm 107, verse 11. "Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High." In other words, they rejected God's counsel and they rebelled against the words. Notice now Psalm 119. 119. The book, or the Psalm 119 has 22 sections. And each of these sections is divided by the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? What do we have in English? 26? Yeah. Well, Hebrew has 22. And this psalm is divided by each of those letters. Now, I want you to notice the beginning of each of these segments. In Psalm 119, notice the very first verse. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Okay, the law of the Lord. That's another name for really the word of God. What God has said, what God's laid out. Now verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word. Now notice verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. And so statutes, that's another reference to certainly God's dictates, all right? But then let's go to verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. And verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Notice verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 57, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words, plural, words, plural. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Now notice verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. While we're here in verse 73-ish, notice that letter above, that Hebrew letter. It's called a jot. In English, we pronounce it jot, however the Hebrew letter is pronounced. But that's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And Jesus said, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Here's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the tittle is the smallest mark of a letter that basically it distinguishes, in our English alphabet, it distinguishes an L from a T, right? That cross of the T is the smallest mark, or something like that that can be related, that makes that letter a different letter. And so, anyway, notice as we continue on, verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Notice verse 105, thy word, not thy church, not the pastor even you've given me, thy word. God wants us to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I want to emphasize this because it is critical. And so thy word, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse 121, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. I want you to notice sometimes it's word and sometimes it's plural, words. And it's emphasizing different things. When we say, I love the word of God, right? What are we talking about? We're talking about something, you know, the whole part here, right? I love the word, but when we say, I love the words, we're saying, I love every little bit, every this and here, and what he said here, and the words. And so it's emphasizing different aspects. 130, I have to park here for a moment. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. And then back to 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I'll tell you what, if we don't have the word, the words of God to guide our life, we will go astray. The word is important. What God has said, not what we, you know, that's critical. It's just critical. And the entrance of thy words giveth light. You have people who don't know their Bible, and you have people who are going to go astray. Because man's mind can't guide him in the right direction. Only the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. By every word. Wow. That's why we have devotions on a daily basis. That's why we spend time in God's word. That's why we should be studying the scriptures. Because what we need of more of is not YouTube to answer our questions. What we need more of is not, some new book that'll really help, to teach dummies how to live life or whatever, you know. What we need is the word of God. And it gives light. It gives light. Verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright in all thy judgments. Verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Consider, verse 153, consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. The next verse, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Verse 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. I mean, you know, need we any further emphasis? Let's go back to 160, since we're right here. 160 of this Psalm 119. It says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. I want you to understand that God not only gave his word, he's not just the author, but what he gave is absolutely right on target. What he gave is pure. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words. This 160 verse here says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You know, we can trust the Bible. It will stand forever. Opinions of men will come and go. Governments will rise and fall. But God's word stands the test of time. I had wanted to take you further and really looking. There's just a treasure of what Jesus said about the Bible. And I didn't even get to this. How Jesus believed the Bible. How he accepted it as authoritative, as absolute truth. He quotes it time and time again. When he confronted an issue, whether it was the temptation or whether it was just teaching people, he quoted the Word of God with authority. He believed the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? You say, oh, sure, we believe the Bible. Of course, I mean, we're Christians. Oh, there's so many that we can so easily drift away from really holding this as the treasure that it is. You have a question about life, about eternity. You need wisdom for today and tomorrow. You know what? There's no greater source of light and guidance than the Word of God, the words of God. They are faithful, trustworthy. Jesus believed them. And do you? I have to stop there. I'd love to go farther, but our time is evaporated. How is it with you? With heads bowed, with eyes closed, the hymn that I'll ask the pianist to just play. We won't sing it. It's called a firm foundation. You know, if your life is built on what you think, if your life is built on what you've heard, what you read, other places besides the scripture, your life is on a pretty shaky ground. The way to be saved is clearly laid out in the Bible. We're sinners, we can't save ourselves. Salvation is by faith, not of works. By dependence upon Jesus alone. That's it. It's that simple. God will keep His promise. His word will stand forever. Governments will rise and fall. But God's word will stand the test of time. Are you building your life on the word of God? I mean, if the Bible really is all it claims to be like this, man, shouldn't that be something we should really get into every day? I mean, shouldn't it really, like, be something we give our attention to? Absolutely. It's faithful. In this hymn, the words say, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?" God's word is excellent. Let us love it and treasure it. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Thank You for the time we could spend together today. And Lord, help us. There's so many demands on our time and so many pressures. Help us to recognize the prominent place Your word should have in our everyday life, on holidays as well as work days, on Sundays as well as Fridays. That Your word should really be something that we truly do meditate on day and night. It's something that we should have mindful in every situation of life, in our family, in our homes, in our workplace, in our communications. Lord, thank You for Your giving us Your word, and thank You for preserving it as well. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.